Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we are off and running a Wednesday show. IU gets a win last night over Wisconsin. Double overtime. 75-73. Romeo goes the length of the floor and scores on a layup right side with 0.8 seconds left. I tell you what, watching that game unfold, I got to see the second half live on television after getting back from Seymour last night. As things got down to the nitty-gritty at the end of regulation, I felt that all too familiar feeling that we felt in some of these recent Indiana games where they've let it slip away or an outstanding performance in the final few minutes of the game from the opposing team has pushed Indiana to another loss in the Big Ten Conference season. But not last night. Indiana battled. They got a couple breaks late to go their way, but Wisconsin was a big challenge. Definitely a huge win last night for Indiana. This team, for what it's worth, in the last 2 months since January, they're playing the best basketball that they've played, and I think a great part of that is they are showing a great effort. They are battling, and I want to say, preface this, most of them are playing with a great effort and with a great resolve that they want to finish this season in some form or some fashion on a positive note. Romeo Langford was absolutely fantastic last night. That is why he will be an NBA draft pick, a lottery pick. I don't think there's any question about it. That's not just my opinion. That doesn't mean a whole bunch, but you can look at some of the mock drafts out there from the people that do know and the people that do talk to the right people to know, and he's got what it takes to get that done and I believe be a lottery pick for this year. 22 points. He did play 45 minutes in the double overtime game. He was 8 of 17 shooting from the field. Juwan Morgan fouled out, but he was efficient. 9 points, 15 rebounds. 15 rebounds. I believe that's a new career high for him last night in the Wisconsin game. Indiana solid. Indiana gets the win. A number of players in double figures behind Langford. You had 12 points. Smith, Durham, and Fennessy both with 11. Morgan with 9. I've already mentioned him. So very consistent scoring in the Indiana lineup. That's what it takes to win against the Wisconsin. That's what it's going to take to win some of these games. Now, Indiana, can they keep the momentum on their side? I think they've had momentum over the last couple of games. Had this team not just bottomed out over the last month and a half or so and got itself into such a deep hole in the Big Ten Conference, even losing to Purdue in a very tight game and losing at Iowa with Bohannon losing his mind to hit some big three-pointers to help Iowa win, I think you could be okay with this team with how they're playing right now. It's just that they've got so many losses that they really cannot afford any more good performances that don't equivalent a win for this team. But nonetheless, a big night last night for Indiana. Also a big night for sectional basketball across the state of Indiana. Some upsets last night. Nothing too crazy here locally, at least in our immediate area, but some crazy upsets last night. That always happens on Tuesday. Odd time to play games. Nervous tightness to start the sectional tournament where it's a one-and-done format, and I was at Seymour. Not a great crowd, unfortunately, but I think it'll change on Friday now that we've got the semifinal matchups that I think we all hope for, Bedford and Jeffersonville in a rematch. Of course, Bedford won that regular season game, and the big one on Friday night in the primetime slot, New Albany and Floyd Central, a rematch from the regular season. Kobe Barnes and the Highlanders playing some really great basketball. They made easy work of Jennings County last night, and we're going to talk about some of the sectional performances from last night and take a peek ahead to the weekend as well a little bit later in the show. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us, or I should say in segment one, We'll have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A look at last night's game in a little bit more detail. We'll also, talking about the IU-Wisconsin game, we'll also take a look at the sectional action last night and look ahead to what's next for this weekend. Take a look at some of the big surprises, not just locally but around the state, and take a check-in on Armand Franklin, whose high school career came to an end last night, and a couple other notes in our headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Then, segment two today, Justin Soaklin will join me. Justin is obviously still very active in covering high school sports across the area, and he was at Seymour last night. We're going to talk a little bit about that sectional, a little bit about some of the other sectionals as well, but we're just going to kind of break things down with what happened last night across the area, and also take a look at some of those Friday matchups as well. Of course, there are some more first-round sectional games tonight, Charlestown and Crawford County, 2A and 3A. They both have a 7-team sectional, so you've got some first-round action there. Two games at both of those locations tonight as well. Later in the program, glad to be joined by former Hoosier, and I think it's a fitting time. Pat Graham is with us today on the program. He'll be with us in the second half of the program for a bit of an extended segment. And I wanted to have Pat on this week. There's a couple things going on that I want to update you on with Pat. There is going to be an outdoor basketball court, much like Romeo Langford Court, that is going to be redone, named in his honor, out in Floyd County at Gary Cavan Park. And with that naming, with that court being redone here as the weather starts to get a little bit better, there'll be some special things coming up later this year where Pat and his family will be honored. There'll be a day of basketball on the new Pat Graham court. I know Floyd Central, we hope Todd Sturgeon, very involved in that. It looks like when that happens later this year. But Pat's going to join us to talk not only about that, but, of course, we'll talk about the Hoosiers and his thoughts on their struggles this year. But I thought it was a real fitting time to have him back on the program with us because it's sectional week, and Floyd Central's trying to do something they haven't done for many, many years. That's win a sectional championship. And they have a real opportunity to do so later this week. They've got to go through New Albany, which is always tough in a rivalry game. Jeffersonville or Bedford, someone will be there for the Highlanders on Saturday night. But if anyone knows about postseason success wearing the green and gold of Floyd Central, it's Pat Graham. And he will join us later in the program as well for a chat. So a good program today. That's the lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. You know, the game last night for Indiana, it was really a strong finish for the team, although if you look at it objectively both ways, there were some bad shots taken by both teams in the final minutes, a couple key turnovers as well, both in regulation and the overtime periods as well. And Indiana very fortunate to win that game, although I did think they held strong despite some things not going their way in those final minutes of regulation and the overtime periods as well. And honestly, at some point, with this team playing harder now, this team playing with the effort I think it takes to be competitive in the Big Ten, I don't know that they've got the most talent from top to bottom, but they've got a couple players or more that can compete in this level of college basketball and I think be successful. They got to get a little luck on their side, and they have not had it against Purdue. They did not have it at Iowa the other night. A little luck it takes to win some of these games. Indiana had it last night. The question is will the hard play, the luck, what it takes to be successful continue on Saturday? That's when Indiana plays host to Michigan State. Of course, beat Michigan State earlier in the year on the road. Michigan State's lost another player since that original game between IU and the Spartans, and Indiana's going to need to play like they did last night, if not better. And it was great to see Indiana shoot the ball a bit better, especially the long ball last night. If they're going to beat Michigan State on Saturday and maybe put a little winning streak together to close the regular Big Ten Conference season before heading to Chicago for the tournament, they're going to have to shoot the ball better. No question about it, especially the long ball. In Indiana showing some signs of life last night after just some awful three-point shooting specifically. We talked earlier in the week about KenPom ratings and how long they've been tracking some of the different statistics and computer models they have, and that right now Indiana was on pace, at least before the Wisconsin game, to finish, since those ratings have been tracked, which is early 2000s, the 2001 season, I believe, as potentially the worst three-point shooting basketball team in college hoops, which is not something good to be known for. But last night, I think, helps that effort some. Of course, after Michigan State, Indiana goes at Illinois. Again, Illinois has been playing better, but that is a very winnable game for Indiana if they play like they did last night, if they play like they did against Iowa and Purdue. Winnable game. Rutgers, very winnable game. It's a home game. And I could very easily see Indiana getting on a little streak. Even if they can't beat Michigan State, I would be disappointed if this team, with how they're playing right now, doesn't beat Illinois on the road, doesn't come back home to beat Rutgers at home. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I just think Indiana is better than those teams when they play together, when they come out with a strong effort. And they've done that now for three games in a row, so you've got to give them some credit, and you've got to have a little bit more belief in them now than maybe what you did a couple weeks ago. If Indiana could beat Michigan State and win out, if Indiana loses to Michigan State, then wins the final two games of the regular season, what do they need to do to get to the NCAA tournament? Is it still possible? Is it going to take a huge effort, a championship in the Big Ten Conference tournament? I think if you look at it, and I'm far from a bracketologist, but I think if you look at it, if Indiana can win out and then go deep into the Big Ten tournament, they've got a real argument and a real opportunity to get in the NCAA tournament. If they lose some games in the regular season and don't win out, might have to make a run all the way to the championship or win the whole thing in Chicago for Indiana to head to the NCAA tournament for this 18-19 college basketball season. Sectionals last night at Seymour, Jeff rolls over Seymour. No surprise there. Trey Coleman had 16 points. Plenty of playing time to go around for the Red Devils. In fact, reserve Caleb Mason, he came in and knocked down three quick three-pointers, finished with 12 points, and Darren Starks had 11 for the Red Devils. Likewise, in the second game, almost an identical score. Floyd Central with 70 points on Jennings County, a 70-47 win. Kobe Barnes, an even 30 points for the Highlanders. Second in scoring last night, Nick Winchell, 16 points in the game last night for the Highlanders. I tell you what, if he can score like that Friday night, if he can score like that the rest of the way and become a third scorer in addition to Jake Heidbreeder, who didn't have a big scoring game, especially in the first half last night, he can be very dangerous. You remember when New Albany and Floyd Central played the first time, really the difference maker in that game was Winchell. He had a big game for the Highlanders. We'll see if that continues now for Floyd Central. They've won 12 straight games. Also last night, one first-round game at Charlestown. Brownstown with an 80-52 win over the host team, and that sets up a Friday night semifinal game between Brownstown and Silver Creek. That's where all the marbles likely will be in that 3A sectional at Charlestown in that Friday night semifinal. Also last night at Crawford County, for one first-round game, two more first-round games tonight, Crawford County had no problem eliminating Eastern Pekin. That score 68-40. Of course, tonight Clarksville and Providence play at Paoli, at Crawford County in the 2A sectional. That's a battle of two of our local teams. Also last night, a couple first-round games at Class 1A at Borden. How about this? Borden gets a win over New Washington, a thrilling win, 35-34 for Doc Nash's team. A shot at the buzzer by Sterling Michael lifts the Braves to only their fourth win of the season, and it comes in the first round of sectional play. Borden will take on Christian Academy. That'll be a tall task for Doc Nash's team on Friday. Also last night, South Central winner, 42-39 over Rock Creek last night. Biggest surprise on the opening night of state tournament play across the state of Indiana, maybe Plainfield beating Brownsburg, the host of that 4A sectional. How about this? Columbus East, who's challenged some of our local teams and taken a couple of them to the wire, they knock out Bloomington North, who's had a really good season, recently losing to Floyd Central and New Albany, but being very competitive in both of those games. When I watched them play New Albany on Friday, I thought to myself, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Bloomington North came out of that sectional at Columbus North instead of Bloomington South or one of the other favorites there, but they're out. First night of the tournament, Columbus East able to get it done. How about this? In Class 4A, number 6-ranked Homestead, number 8th-ranked Indianapolis Cathedral, which features Armand Franklin, who we're going to talk about in a second, number 10 South Bend Riley, and now Brownsburg, all gone. In 3A, number 4 Heritage Hills got beat last night by Evansville Balsey. Number 10 Griffith from way up north, they got beat. And in 2A last night, Lou LaFay, former Providence coach, his 3rd-ranked Tipton team got beat as well. So a number of good teams that potentially had the opportunity to make a run and win a sectional, eliminated last night, including a lot of really good 4A teams. Speaking of Cathedral, they fall last night 65-59 to Lawrence North in a very, very loaded and very tough sectional. But how about Armon Franklin? I have bragged on him all season long about his stat lines and how he's more than just a scorer at things he's done to improve his game. We had his high school coach with us earlier in the year as well. 30 points last night in his final high school game ever as his team falls. That was just a day after he was named Indianapolis City Player of the Year. He has had a monster season, and my opinion of him, this is just my opinion of Armon Franklin from back when he signed with Indiana and when he got really serious in the recruiting process with Indiana to now, I have a much different feeling about him and how he'll be able to come in and help the IU team as a freshman. He's a shooter. He's been able to be consistent on the three-point range. I know there's a big difference between high school and college basketball, but I think Armon Franklin has really primed himself to be a potential contributor for this Indiana team next season. It's a shame to see him get eliminated so early in the state tournament, because I really feel like with Trace Jackson Davis, he might be the number two or the closest thing to a competitor for Mr. Basketball to Trace Jackson Davis in the state this year, given the type of season that he's had. One final note here in this opening segment, Nan Garcia, Jeffersonville Jr., named to the core all-star team for the Indiana Junior All-Stars. That's big stuff. She's not just on the South team. She's on that core team, which means she's really a top six player in her class, at least in the eyes of a lot of decision makers in our state. She's getting a lot of Division I interest. Louisville, the women's program there, has been over to look at her a number of times. She's got a list of offers from mid-major programs. I think that list will grow in the offseason as well. But Nan Garcia will represent Jeffersonville and Southern Indiana. Again, not just as a member of the Junior Girls All-Star team, but also of the core team for the state. And I've heard some rumors, we'll have to see if we can get this confirmed soon, but I've heard some rumors that Indiana versus Kentucky Junior All-Star game, which very likely, I would think, could include Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville when the boys are announced. I've heard rumors that that game on the Indiana side may be played here locally. So we'll have to see if that comes true for a little off-season basketball. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Justin Soakland. We'll recap all the action last night at Seymour. We'll set you up for the semifinal matchups on Friday, and we'll just talk some sectional basketball, which is always fun to do. Coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Wednesday program, Justin Soakland is with me, a very familiar name in covering high school sports, specifically high school basketball in the area. He now writes for BNLAthletics.com. He's based out of Bedford, but I caught up with Justin last night at the sectional in Seymour. And Justin, I know you're a lot like me, even though neither of us had to be at those games last night in Seymour, and even though none of them were necessarily predicted to be great or close games, I think we all expected the outcomes that we got last night at Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium. It's one of those things, when the tournament begins, there's just something about it. You want to be there for all the matchups and to see what happens and to be part of that first night of the festivities.
Yeah, and plus the fact that I had an ulterior motive. I wanted to talk to Jeffersonville's coach because I figured that's who BNL would play on Friday night. And I wanted to see Kobe Barnes play again. And anytime you get a chance to see one of the better players that's come through Southern Indiana in a long time, you don't pass it up. And Kobe didn't disappoint last night. He had 30 points.
Absolutely. We're talking with Justin Soakland. Start with Seymour, and of course, last night, again, as I mentioned, no real surprises. I don't think any of us thought we were going to see buzzer-beating type games. But Trey Coleman, a big performance for Jeffersonville. You mentioned Kobe Barnes. He had 30 points for the Highlanders. I tell you, Floyd and Jeff, as they played some lackluster opponents last night, it's hard to kind of gauge which one of those teams you might label as the favorite heading into the semifinals on Friday. Jeff did beat Floyd Central, kind of a controversial end to the game, and a big last-second three-pointer by Darren Starks back in mid-January. But the Highlanders themselves are playing some really great basketball. I guess the good news is we've got really, really good semifinal matchups scheduled for Friday night.
I don't think you could come up with two better games, even if you had seeded the tournament. These are the four best teams in this sectional, there's no question. And they should be two outstanding games Friday night. I'm going to go ahead and label Floyd the favorite, Matt, and for two reasons. Number one, they have the best record, and number two, they have the best player. And I don't think there's any question about that. They've also won 12 straight games. Last night, it would have been easy to overlook a team that you'd already beaten, you know, during the regular season substantially on the road, but they didn't do that. They came out and played pretty well. And as Todd Sturgeon told me after the game, it was really a perfect game for them to get their jitters out of the way and get into the tournament and go forward. And so I think they were pretty happy with the way they played last night. And that's not to disparage Jeffersonville. I mean, they've won eight in a row. Ever since they lost to B&L and Harrison on a weekend in late January, they've gone on and beaten some really good teams. Columbus East, Wrights, Castle, all three of those games are very impressive wins. So I don't think they're a close second. As far as you know, the 1-2 in the if you want to call them favorites, but B&L beat Jeffersonville during the regular season and played outstanding game that night. So I really don't think both games might be considered toss ups because of the rivalries and because of the way that they played during the regular season and with the outcomes. And so it ought to be two outstanding games on Friday to Seymour.
Justin, anyone that has seen Bedford, and of course you cover every game and you can read about their season in full at bnlathletics.com, you've got to know about Damon Bailey's son, who's had a terrific year. In fact, already a 1,000-plus point scorer, is just a junior. And another player, McCall Ray, who might be familiar to some listeners that aren't familiar with Bedford, because he recently was announced that he's going to walk on for the IU football program as well. There's some other players that make Bedford a threat also, but those two guys have kind of been over the years the key names that have led this team, and that's pretty much true once again this season.
And you would throw in Jason Ritter, another wing player. All three of those kids average in double figures. The Bailey's are right around 19, Ritter about 14, and Ray about 12. And so they consist, I would say, arguably the best backcourt in the Hoosier Hills Conference if you put those three together. I mean, Bailey runs the show. He does a tremendous job. He's very smart, handles the ball, taking it to the rim. He started to add a pull-up jump, mid-range jump shot to his game. And when he does that, and with his ability to drive, it makes him a really tough job to defend him. And when he kicks it out to Ritter and Ray on the perimeter, if they're hot, they're awfully hard to guard.
Justin Soakland is my guest. We're talking about sectional action last night and taking a look ahead at the semifinal pairings at Seymour on Friday. Kobe Barnes, 30 points last night. It's amazing to me. He handles the ball. He can shoot it. He obviously is very active in the low post. Gets fouled, a lot of and-one opportunities. He's a player, it's easy to see why Indiana State's very excited about having him come to their program after his career at Floyd Central concludes.
I would say Indiana State got maybe the steal of the recruiting season to land him. Because not to disparage Indiana State, that's a good program, but he could have gone probably someone a little bit bigger and better than that and been just fine because he's an outstanding player. He's been double-teamed wherever he turns. Last night, his last basket, there was a missed shot. He floated in, just grabbed it, dunked it on a rebound with no effort whatsoever. I mean, I know there was some effort because I couldn't do that, but he made it look effortless. And it's just, he's an outstanding athlete. I mean, if I was Todd Sturgeon, I'd have him on the post scoring every chance I got. But, like he told me during the regular season game, he said, the kid likes to shoot three-pointers, and who am I to say, no, don't do that, because he could hit them. So he is really a threat anywhere on the court, and I like watching him play. He has really matured the last couple of years from the time I saw him when he was younger till now, has really matured into an all-around game.
Now, obviously, I want to talk some about Floyd Central and New Albany, which I think will really help draw in the crowd in addition to the Bedford and Jeff game on Friday at Seymour. But before we get that far, Floyd Central, outside of Kobe Barnes, has some real weapons. Jake Heidbreeder has been very impressive this season. Didn't have his best game last night, specifically in the first half, but he's a guy that knows how to get to the rim. He's athletic. He can shoot the ball as well. Just a very, very heady player. And then you've got Nick Winchell last night scoring, I think, 16 points it was for Floyd Central. His name has appeared in the box score most games. He's had some bigger games, some bigger than others, but really some big games this year, like the sectional Tuesday night, that New Albany game in the regular season. He was a big, big part of the Highlanders' win. He kind of can step up at times as that third scorer, that third player you really have to focus on and guard, which can be dangerous for other teams playing the Highlanders.
Well, Matt, you've seen enough basketball to know that guards are the key to tournaments. I mean, you know, you've got to have a good guard. You got to have a really good backcourt to go deep into the tournament. And Nick Winchell gives you that senior experience out there that you can just count on, that he's not going to make mistakes. He's going to make the clutch shot or two. You mentioned Jake Heidbreder. He had some really big games for the Islanders in scoring. So when you add those triple threats to Barnes, makes him doubly dangerous.
Justin Soakland is my guest. You can read Justin's coverage of last night's games at BNLAthletics.com. New Albany and Floyd Central Friday. It's one of the great rivalries in our state. Of course, it's one of the big deals locally as well, whether it's a regular season matchup or whether it's for all the marbles with a sectional championship, as it's been the last few years, or in this year's case, a semifinal matchup for the right to move on to the championship game. What do you see in that one? New Albany, obviously, without Julian Hunter. That's a big loss from last time. The Highlanders have already recorded one win over the Bulldogs this season. Can New Albany, without Julian Hunter, be competitive in that game? Can they find a way to win that game?
Well, number one, they beat Bloomington South without Julian Hunter, if I'm correct, or the first game of the
yes,
season.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay,
yes.
So that you have that going for you. You know, Thomas, I believe, the name that escapes me, but at the top, the 6'7 kid off the bench who came in and played so well against BNL. If he can play like that, then New Albany's definitely got a chance. And I don't want it ever to hear Jim Shannon say that I don't that he has no chance, because it'll come back to haunt me if I say that. So, as you know, but Jim, you know, New Albany's been great here the stretch run. They've won 10 in a row. They've won 3 in a row without Hunter. So I don't think you can discount them at all. But I still think you have to say Floyd is a little bit of the favorite because of their record and having the best player on the court.
Justin, let's take a look at the entire area here, Southern Indiana as a whole. And, of course, one of my favorite things to do on sectional night, track some of the scores, see what upsets happen. Fortunately for our local teams and the sectional that you and I will be at, the semifinals are intact. They will be Friday night, what everyone hoped they would be, the opportunity to bring out a tremendous crowd for the games at Seymour on Friday. But as you look across the area, it's hard not to think ahead. And I know Silver Creek has some work to do. Brownstown is going to be their opponent on Friday night. Silver Creek got the bye. Brownstown defeated Charlestown very handily last night, as we expected them to do. And that will kind of be, in my opinion, the championship game in the 3A sectional at Charlestown, barring any major upsets. But with that said, Silver Creek has the look, the feel of a team and a community that maybe could make a run deep into the tournament this year. We've talked about it throughout the regular season. Now the postseason is here, and we'll see what Silver Creek can do when they open up tournament play against Brownstown. But a team that's got a real feel and could get hot, get on a run, and make something deep, and maybe to Indianapolis.
Well, I hope so, because I really, really respect Brandon Hoffman, and they've had some good teams last 4 or 5 years that they thought was going to make a deep run, and ran into some trouble in the regional, whether it was just having an off game or just a team that was better than them. This year may be their best chance that they've ever had. I mean, I saw them play BNL earlier in the season, and they were outstanding. They've got just about every piece you've got as far as the experience in the backcourt, big kids underneath. I don't know how you grow them that big down there all the time, because I never hardly see that up here. But but they've got some size, and they've got everything they need to make a deep run. And I really hope they do, because it's about time for them to get past the regional and just see how far they can go. And, you know, if they had been in the Hoosier Hills Conference this year, can you imagine, you know, they play every team in it, I think, except East anyway. that would have been an unbelievable conference, and they could have been competing for it. So there is no reason why they couldn't think that they could make a run in 3A.
Justin Soakland, my guest. You can read Justin's coverage primarily of Bedford, but he was at the games last night, has some rundowns from the first night of Seymour at bnlathletics.com. It's always great to find a way to talk to you, even though you're a little north of us now. I know I'll see you Friday night and hopefully Saturday as well. Should be some great basketball, not only in Seymour, but across southern Indiana and really the entire state this weekend.
Well, there's no better thing than the Indiana State basketball tournament and the excitement. Even the last couple of years, a little bit of anomaly at Seymour with Romeo being there and all the crowds. But there should be an outstanding crowd again Friday night at Seymour, because you're not going to find two better games anywhere than the two we're going to watch.
Absolutely. Justin Soakland, BNLathletics.com. Justin, thanks for the chat.
Thank you, Matt. Anytime, man.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, IU legend and Floyd Central legend on a big week for the Highlanders, potentially. Pat Graham is with us next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Pat Graham will be my guest here in just a few moments. Don't forget, the Big X Pizza Tour Card is now available at BigXSportsRadio.com. You can enjoy the best pizza in Southern Indiana with a gigantic discount. Special offers from Berno's, Boomba's Tap House, and Sardano's in Sellersburg. The Big X Pizza Tour Card, valued at $150, but you can buy yours today for only $59 at BigXSportsRadio.com. A very limited supply, and with a $150 value for only $59, you know they won't last long. So get yours today. Log on, BigXSportsRadio.com. Pat Graham is with me, former Hoosier, former Highlander. Pat, we had an IU victory last night at Assembly Hall in double overtime, and we had the start of sectional basketball across the Hoosier State. I can't think of a better time to be from the great state of the Hoosier State, I should say.
Well, unless you're coaching, and then it's not as much fun as what everybody, unless you're a fan. You know, fans have a good time with it, but if you're a coach or have any stake in it that way, it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
Well, you were out scouting last night. I think we've updated people enough to know that in the area you're helping Evansville Memorial, where your son is playing, and getting a view of some potential sectional opponents for their team on Friday night. So you, unfortunately, have to land on that coaching side, I guess, for this season.
Yeah, and we were at Boonville last night watching Bossy and Heritage Hills. Bossy won, and then I was driving home, actually, and the IU game had started, went back, watched film, and then I watched, it was kind of like a NASCAR race. I got to watch the last couple minutes and then the overtimes, and it was a nice win.
Pat Graham, my guest, a former IU legend, and of course Highlander legend as well. I know you're tied up in your own things this week. You're at Evansville Memorial, focused on trying to win a sectional championship there. But I know in the back of your mind, from talking with you, you keep the Floyd Central program in mind often. You've really struck up a great relationship in recent years with the current head coach, Todd Sturgeon, and obviously they have had a heck of a season and really a heck of a run over the last few seasons as well. You have some great memories in that green and gold of a Highlander jersey in this sectional week, and I know the feeling is out there for Floyd Central fans specifically, who've been many, many years, 30 to be exact, since a sectional championship, that potentially that could all come to an end on Saturday night in Seymour.
I kind of had four different lives. I had, when I was younger, I of course lived in Borden, Indiana, and then I went to Floyd Central, and I had my Floyd Central years, and it's not that it was, you know, I had a better career in high school than college or whatever, but your high school career is just a different animal, and it's not even remotely close to your college years. And then coaching's a whole nother world. But my high school years, probably were the hardest working. I would say the most pressure on me personally. You had a feel for Coach Dust and Coach Hinton and those guys, and you can't really explain it, but probably the best years of my life dealing with basketball was when I was in high school. Now I always laugh and say, well, it was easy because I had control. And when you're coaching, you don't have all the control. And maybe in college, you didn't have as much control as you did in high school. But I've talked a lot, tweeted a lot, or direct messaged a lot, text a lot with Kobe, Coach Sturgeon. I'm really happy. I mean, after I left, went through some bad years, some down years, and of course, you guys at New Albany really played well. And you know, when I was there, Jeffersonville was the team. So it's just kind of changed throughout. Obviously, 30 years, I feel old now after saying that. But yeah, it's another animal. High school basketball in this state is a whole nother world. I always will tell the story when we were in college, Bailey. You know, I played senior year, Bailey played his senior year, and then we went to class basketball, and Chris Reynolds we'd sit in the locker room, and Chris Reynolds would always kind of poke at us saying, why in the hell would you all change class basketball to class basketball because you all had something special? And I'm still hard-headed, I'm still old school, and I wish it was the way it used to be, but it's still got the same feel, maybe not quite as the way I liked it back then, but it's still awful special. And, yeah, Floyd Central, I'm guessing they are probably the favorite, but you know, we had a big upset here last night with Central beating Castle. So you can take the records and throw them out the window.
I know a lot of your weekend will be dictated by the success of your son's team and your assistant coaching duties with Evansville Memorial, but win or lose there, how much in the back of your mind will you be paying attention to Floyd Central's results and successes potentially this week as they look to break that streak?
Oh, I'll be that's the great thing about social media and Twitter and all this stuff. I can stay up with it. You know, I've already said if things, you know, we're hoping to win Friday night. If things don't go our way, I'm probably going to head over there possibly to that area to see that game if Floyd Central gets there. And I know there's a big feeder tournament at Floyd Central this weekend. I'm heading over to watch the Memorial team. So I'd like to see it. You know, obviously it's with social media, it's so much easier to stay on top of things. And, you know, there's some bad things about social media and there's some good things. That's one of the good things that you can stay up on your team from 2 hours away that you want to find out anything you need to know.
Talking with Pat Graham, Pat, obviously a former legend at Indiana and a great player, Mr. Basketball at Floyd Central with his high school career. I want to get to a couple different topics. The high school sectional week was just the first of a number that I always plan to get to a lot more with you than I do. We get into some good conversations, and you've always got great stuff, so sometimes we don't get as far as I hope, but there's always next time. I do want to touch a little bit on Indiana. I know, again, going back to your coaching duties, and I can relate to the time and the hours that you put in with that, you don't get to see every IU game, and you don't get to Bloomington near as often as you might like. And some of the problems and the struggles that Indiana basketball have went through, specifically in this 2019 portion of the calendar, I know have been difficult for fans and everyone that's associated with the program. Your general take on a slide, whether it's Indiana or not, I mean, obviously this is a high-pressure situation for Coach Miller. This is a program that you know very well. You know many of those pressures that can be bestowed on players and coaches firsthand. Can you imagine or put into words maybe what it's been like to go through some bad moments and a slide of a number of losses back-to-back-to-back for this team since Big Ten has really gotten underway in full style since January?
No, I couldn't imagine. You know, I say that, and of course everybody thinks and understands that when you lost in Indiana, Coach Knight was you know, a different type of person. You know, that's kind of a running joke, but truly, you know, I can truthfully and honestly say that when we went to IU in 89-90 or whatever, and there was seven of us freshmen, I would tell you that six of the seven. I mean, our goal was to win a national championship. We never really talked about it. We never, you know, it wasn't a daily discussion. It was just basically a dream. You know, it was just this, God, what if we could do this? Well, we have a chance. And, you know, we weren't arrogant. We weren't cocky. It was just, God, this would be the ultimate prize. And no matter if you were talking about a guy like Todd Lear or myself or Damon or you're talking about the best player in the country, Calvert Chaney, we all had the same kind of mindset goal. And so losses weren't fun. I mean, that was an obvious. But, you know, there was a lot of times wins weren't fun either if we didn't play well. Occasionally you'd have a loss that maybe Coach Knight felt maybe wasn't a bad loss, and those weren't as tough at times. It was a roller coaster that you thought you could figure it out. Well, you better try another profession or another way of dealing things because you couldn't figure it out. But losses were miserable. And, you know, again, we had this ultimate prize in a 4 or 5 year kind of mindset, and losses were awful. Not from the coaching staff or, well, they were going to put us through, you know, a week of hell or 4 days of hell. It was just from us. It was awful. And Coach Davenport over at Bellarmine told me one time, he said, you know, losing sucks when you're a player. And he said, can you imagine going to a school that goes 5-16 on the year? And I said, I can't comprehend that. So now flip that over to be at Indiana and get on these losing streaks the way they have. Us, the guys that I played with, I can't imagine. I mean, it would be, you know, we'd be on suicide watch on it. But the thing is, the teams that I played on were so much different than the teams that are not only at Indiana today, but at all schools today. You know, I've told people I love basketball. I love the sport. I love working out on your own and getting better in the summer and, you know, 95-degree gyms and working out with a radio and a chair. I love that. But the way college basketball is set today compared to back when I played, and I don't want to sound like an old grandpa, grumpy grandpa here, but it's true. I watch it, and it's not the same as when I played. High school basketball is not the same as when I played. So it's different. Kids are different. Parents are different. Coaches are different. Refs are different. I mean, I watched that Indiana game, and the refs were at the monitor more than, and it just, I'm sitting here going, how does anyone, and I don't watch a lot of college basketball because of the high school stuff that I do, but I'm sitting here going, how the hell does anyone watch this game with all these monitor stops? Dockage was joking about it, but it was, I mean, I'm sitting here laughing, going, we just need robots. It's just, the whole thing has changed so much, and I can comprehend where people are like, this isn't the same sport I used to watch 10, 15, 20 years ago. But getting back on your point, and I know I can ramble for hours. But
no, it's great.
The losses that these kids are going through at Indiana, it's one thing we always learned at Indiana, is when you lose, if you don't learn from it, you're a failure. It is a failure. You're not going to win every game. There's no way that's going to happen. So you have to learn from your losses. Maybe that's you got to shoot it better. Maybe that's you got to guard better. Maybe that's you got to rebound better. Maybe you just got beat by a better team. But whatever the case, you had to learn from your losses. If you did that, you somehow succeeded for the next game or the next batch of games. And if you don't learn from it, well, you fail. And sports is all about succeeding and failing. And so that's the tough part, to put your finger on something at IU. I feel for Romeo. You know, I've never met the kid. I've obviously stayed on top of him growing up in that area. Great, you know, that area has not seen a talent like him. I can't name the last player. But the expectations were so extreme when he went up there. And, you know, I personally didn't think Indiana was going to be as good as what everyone quote unquote thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to have trouble scoring. I thought they were very young, which, you know, what Kentucky and Duke and those teams do with young players, everybody just, that's the argument everybody goes to. Well, Kentucky wins with young players. Well, we don't have five first-rounders on this team either, or five first, you know, top 20 picks, or one-and-dones. We only have one. And I thought the expectations were a little high going into the season, I'll be quite honest with you.
Pat Graham is my guest. We're talking IU basketball, talking a lot of topics today with Pat in his segment here on the Hoosier Report. I want to switch gears again, and you've got some good stuff, so I would love to continue on that path, but I almost need to have you back when you could join us for the full hour sometime in the off season when you got a little more time.
We can do that. We can do that anytime.
let me, and I know you won't want to talk about this topic, but I'm going to bring it up. We've been working on something, and of course last year with Romeo Langford going to IU, the community wanted to do something that was reasonable for him at his age and maybe would help spur some additional play for young kids in the area with a really, and I say an outdoor basketball court. It's first class. It's not anything where, oh, we're going to repave it and stripe it and put some new wooden backboards up and we're going to put a slap a name on this thing. This is absolutely first class from the surface to the goals, which I'd hate to think the cost alone of the goals. And it really has went over as a big success. And it just was a way to attach a popular person, a successful person, someone you want to follow and their name to a landmark in our community. And when that process started, probably long overdue, someone said, wait a minute, Pat Graham is a Mr. Basketball. He went on to have a great college career. He's went on to be a very successful person as an adult, now coaching his kids and living a great life. And so Pat Graham Court has come to fruition. It'll be at Gary Cavan Park, which is located in Georgetown off of Cordon Ridge Road. And there will be, much like the Romeo Court, all the bells and whistles, a first-class outdoor basketball environment. And you'll be hopefully coming back to join us for that special day when that court is ready. We think it'll be sometime in mid to late July, and that day will be celebrated with some special guests, a couple surprises we have up our sleeve, and a day of basketball as well for the kids and others in our community. And I know that you don't want anything named after you, and we've talked about it. I'm not even sure an outdoor court is really enough to name after you, given your accomplishments. But I know you are excited about the chance to get back here and work with the Floyd Central coaches and program and have a good day of basketball. And again, I know the community is excited to get you back and honor you for not just a great accomplishment in high school and college, but really a lifelong journey for you just on how to do things the right way. So congratulations on that. And I know I'm looking forward to working with you on putting that together here in the coming months.
Well, you and I have spoke a few times about it, and it's, you know, I'm very humbled by it, somewhat embarrassed. You know, I never set out, you know, when I was playing basketball. Again, that's where I think Romeo and I are so different, obviously for a lot of reasons, because he's a hell of a lot better basketball player than I was. But Romeo had so much fanfare since he was in seventh grade, and I probably, you know, I think as a sophomore, junior, I was ranked seventh in the state of Indiana, and I laugh. I kind of come on at the end, but I'm beyond appreciative. You know, the one thing, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I am a big kid lover. You know, anything that can help kids, anything that, whatever I can do to help a kid, and if a basketball court for kids or families is what it's about, that's fine with me. You know, that area of basketball is special. In fact, I would put that area of basketball, you know, right across the river from Louisville, Indiana, Kentucky's same mileage away. That's a hotbed of high school, college basketball, fanship, love. You know, the whole thing is everyone loves basketball in that area, and so I'm very proud of that. And plus, if I can help Coach Sturgeon in the program and bring some notoriety to those guys, I'm all about it. But yes, to put my name on something like that, it's very humbling, and I'm a little bashful of it, but, I don't believe it should have been done years ago or whatever like that. I have no animosity towards that. I'm a little bit embarrassed about it, but if it can help someone else, I'm all about it. I have the utmost respect and love for kids and anything like that that can help them. I'm all about it.
And again, I should add that in addition to being a first-class outdoor court, it will have some things that recognize your accomplishments, specifically the Mr. Basketball accomplishment as well. And we'll be keeping you posted here on this program about some of the activities and things coming up when an actual grand opening date is set. But we very much look forward to getting Pat back here with us for that. So stay tuned for details on that. Pat, as we close out the show today, and again, we'll have you back and try to get you maybe when you're up here for an extended interview. We always get a lot of great feedback. People love to hear your viewpoints and love to hear your stories from days gone by and your time both at Floyd Central and at Indiana as well. But I'm curious, we close things out. You know, you think about Romeo Langford. I know you followed him a lot. I know many ways you guys had similar paths as far as being great high school players, being Mr. Basketball, having a fanfare around you and your high school program, and really your whole recruiting process as well. As you've seen his deal unfold and him make his college decision, him head off to Bloomington, and now he's really late in his freshman year, no matter what happens with Indiana's postseason opportunities. And I know things are different. You mentioned social media earlier. There are other things that have changed about the game and about recruiting and about how all this comes together. But when you see the crowds and the fanfare and certain things that surrounded him, you had to have some deja vu when you think back to your time at that age and some of the craziness that went on following your high school teams and really following your career through that era.
No, like I said, and again, when you're dealing over there with New Albany, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, that bedlam of basketball over there, I'm in Evansville, Indiana, and I just don't think, not that it's a bad area for basketball, but that area over there is quite crazy. And so, you know, in some ways, like I said, Romeo and I are miles apart as far as type of players we were and the time we were and the age. But I can comprehend what he was going through a little bit, especially through the recruiting process. I didn't have a camera in front of me. I didn't have to sign autographs after games. I mean, I might sign 25 on the way out to the car, but I never had to sit down at a table for hours upon hours. And so a lot of those things are much different. You know, the one thing that I think that people have to understand about that kid, to be fair to him, is when we, again.
Pat, are you with us?
I am there.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Got it, yes.
When the difference, I think an alarm on my phone went off. The difference is when I was going through, and we, and I say we as in Chris Reynolds and Todd Leary and Calvert Chaney and all of us guys went to IU together, there wasn't a thought about the NBA. There was not one thought about the NBA. And I know Calvert blossomed, but, you know, as a sophomore, everyone knew he was going to play in the NBA. Maybe not everybody else was that to that level. There was zero jealousy on our team, and Calvert never thought one iota about the NBA. And a kid like Romeo, and this is where I say to be fair to him, people say, well, he should stay, well, he should go, well, he should stay. And I'm like, well, first off, the kid has the choice, so it's his choice. The only thing I would say is when, and I'm not saying he hasn't done this, I think he has, when you are at Indiana, team first, you're trying to win the next game, you're trying to win the Big Ten, you're trying to win the net, whatever the case may be. Now, after the season, do with it what you want. And I'm not saying just Indiana. I think as a whole, you know, the Zion phenomenon. I mean, there's so much pressure with shoe companies and all this stuff. How can you tell an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid not to think about the NBA? We never even had the option. I mean, it wasn't even in our world to think about the NBA. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking more about Calvert or maybe Allen Henderson. But what these kids today are going through, I mean, you need another day every week just to deal with the media and the questions about the NBA and the agents and all this stuff, where we didn't have to worry about that. So, you know, the only thing I would say to an incoming freshman is, if you're going to go to college, you kill yourself for that college for 1 year. You're getting a pretty good deal. I'm not into paying players when they're in college. I don't really care how much money they're making the school. You kill yourself for that program. They took a shot on you, gave you a chance. You do your best for them. And then after the season, you have to do what's best for you and your family. But it's hard. I mean, today with the way, not only the media, social media, just everything, there's not enough days in the week to deal with that part of it. Plus, you're going to class and trying to win a basketball game. So it's another, it's just a completely another animal. It's another world. It's another state that I didn't have to deal with. We didn't have to deal with. And that's the only thing you'd like to tell these high school kids. If I could tell a high school kid, that's what you got to think. And that's just not the way it is. These kids, since their seventh grade, have been told how great they are. I was never told how great I was in seventh grade. And that's the world that they're living in that we didn't. And so for me to answer, well, what should he do? What should he do? I don't know. That's not my decision. I can't even answer for him. I can't even comprehend what he or Zion or all these kids are going through because I didn't live it. And for me to make a comment on it, it's almost silly.
Pat Graham, former Hoosier, former Highlander. Pat, we have to get out of here. Thanks so much for the great chat. Let's do it again soon. And, again, congratulations on the honor. I know we'll be in touch with you here in the coming weeks and months.
Thank you so much.
All right. Always great to have Pat Graham with us for a little extended edition of the program today. Great stuff from him. A special time of year. And let's hope that if Floyd Central does move on to the championship game Saturday, it works out where Pat Graham can be in attendance at Seymour. Obviously special times. That's going to wrap things up for today. Back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.